Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today, shortly this morning, is going to be Joe Cortina. Joe Cortina is an expert in foreign policy. He is an analyst. He has a particular expertise in Nicaragua and El Salvador and has some things to share with us today about his perceptions of Israel from his trip there in 1989 and some of the experiences that he has had subsequently. He'll join us after the first break. I have an interesting news summary for you today. Lo and behold, page one of the Washington Post today. Peter Baker and John Cohen have a story entitled, Americans Say U.S. is Losing the War. Aha! Public politicians split on Iraq panel's ideas. And according to Baker and Cohen of the Washington Post today, most Americans think the United States is losing the war in Iraq. I'm one of them, by the way. And support a bipartisan commission's key proposals to change course, according to a poll released yesterday. But the Iraq Study Group's report has become a political orphan in Washington with little backing from either party. Nearly 8 in 10 Americans favor changing the U.S. mission in Iraq from direct combat to training Iraqi troops, the Washington Post ABC News survey found. Sizable majorities agree with the goal of pulling out nearly all U.S. combat forces by early 2008, engaging in direct talks with Iran and Syria, and reducing U.S. financial support of Iraq fails to make enough progress. Yet neither President Bush nor the Democratic leaders who will take over Congress in 3 weeks have embraced the panel's report since it was released last week. Bush set it aside in favor of his own review, but faced with conflicting advice within the administration, the White House said yesterday that plans to announce a new Iraq strategy by Christmas would be delayed until January. Democrats remain undecided and kept their distance while trying to pressure Bush. Quote, I don't think I've ever seen politicians walk away from something faster, unquote, said Gordon Adams, who was a White House defense budget official under Bill Clinton. The dichotomy between the public support for the plan and the Washington establishment's ambivalence illustrates the complex political environment as Bush searches for a new strategy in a war that has outlasted U.S. involvement in World War II. A war-weary public appears hungry for ideas that would represent a major change, but political leaders remain uncertain whether the plan's proposals would improve the situation. Interesting thing to look at some of the articles that are online today that analyze the Iraq Study Group in ways that the Washington Post does not. Particularly if we turn to aljazeera.info today, there's a fascinating story by Abdus Sattar Ghazali entitled The Oil Connection in the Iraq Study Group, Blood for Oil, Loud and Clear. You can find that today at aljazeera.info. And as you go through and look at all of the arguments that are made in that article, it's quite interesting that there is definitely a link between oil interests and the Iran Study Group. In the Iraq Study Group, I'm sorry, and this is something that comes up again today in terms of globalresearch.ca, where Larry Chin has a story today entitled The Iraq Study Group, Official Damage Control and Cover-Up. And going to the very bottom of the page, where he talks about Meese, Eagleburger, Perry, Jordan, O'Connor, Simpson, Robb, and Panetta, and all of the usual suspects, Chin's story at Global Research says that the Iraq Study Group is structured around working groups, which deliberate on four aspects of the Iraq occupation: military and security, economy and reconstruction, political development, and strategic environment. The membership of the working groups, according to Chin, is thoroughly dominated by figures from neoconservative, military intelligence-related Western think tanks, and outright intelligence fronts, including the Center for Strategic and International Studies, the RAND Corporation, the Heritage Foundation, the Hoover Institution, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Brookings Institution, the American Enterprise Institute, and all the usual players with Bechtel and Citigroup. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Joe Cortina.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Joe Cortina. Joe's a foreign policy analyst specializing in the Caribbean Basin, particularly Nicaragua and El Salvador. He has an equivalent expertise as a disinformation specialist dealing with Soviet-instigated active measures and ideological subversion in the United States. Active measures is a Soviet phrase used to describe overt and covert intelligence gathering techniques designed to advance Moscow's foreign policy objectives and or influence events in the USA and other countries toward this end. The Kremlin sponsors these operations for the express purpose of influencing the policies and actions of our government, to undermine public confidence in our leaders and institutions, to influence public opinion against selected military, economic, and political programs, to disrupt relations between the United States and our allies, and to demonstrate that the policies and goals of our country are detrimental to the growth of third world countries. Some of the techniques used include forged documents, written and oral disinformation, agents of influence, e.g. Vladimir Posner, political influence operations, e.g. marches on Washington, the use of communist parties, like the Communist Party USA, and an international network of Soviet-controlled and/or assisted front groups, for example, CISPUS. Now, the interesting thing about Joe Cortina, as you continue to look at the biography that he has provided me, is that he was born in New York City in 1938, moved to Tampa shortly thereafter, graduated from Plant High School in Tampa in 1956, attended several universities, attaining a BS degree from the University of Miami, entered active duty with the Army in 1960, served with artillery and infantry units for 2 years, his last assignment being with the USATC at Fort Gordon, Georgia, where he trained infantry troops during the Berlin crisis. He was a member of various NG and USAR units for the ensuing 5 years, primarily with airborne units. His last duty was as commander of Operational Debt A-32, 20th Special Forces, GP. That's an airborne unit in the 1st Special Forces. Mr. Cortina subsequently received an honorable discharge, attaining the rank of captain. He has been involved with a number of companies and corporations in America, and he has a number of interesting things to share with us. And, Joe, as I look at your biography, it's striking to me that you have obviously very strong foreign policy credentials, very strong credentials in the area of the American military, specialty in Soviet disinformation campaigns and Soviet manipulation of American governmental figures and American foreign and domestic policy. And yet you have a slant on Israel that is not shared by many people in the American defense establishment. Tell us a little bit as to why.
Let me thank you for the opportunity to share some of this knowledge on your program with your listeners. I consider it a privilege, and I'm grateful for it, so thank you for that. I'd like to start off by making an observation. The fact that you have listeners this morning who may be at work or have other things or family obligations and so on tells me that they probably are people who want to learn and are not the problem so much as the masses who really don't care and just lead a life of ignorance. And I have found, after many, many years, I've traveled to over 30 countries. I speak several languages. I've been also a diplomat to a foreign country and so on. So I had kind of an international aura in past years. This was a gift from my parents. The idea of something that there was somebody else other than the United States on this planet. I have come to believe that people in this country are the absolutely most ignorant critters on the face of the earth. And herein lies the problem, a simple matter of ignorance, and people here refuse to be educated. So my kudos to your listeners this morning. Hopefully you'll share some of this stuff. I'd like to read something briefly. I think it says it all. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Does that sound familiar, Mark? You remember who said that?
Yes.
It was Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers, a real pearl of wisdom. You don't see those kind of profound statements anymore. There just is no more wisdom in our government. But let's get on with the education process. excuse me, I woke up with a frog in my throat here.
I know the feeling well.
Yeah. I'm going to try to share a few things with you, with your listeners, and probably I think one of them, as we said, that this matter in the Mideast, particularly with Israel, I, like you, and we had discussed this before my trip abroad there, where I spent several weeks. I had a preconceived notion that I didn't like Arabs, probably because I had learned somewhere along the way that the Arabs had accepted Soviet aid, and I was very, very anti-communist. I still am anti-Soviet. And somehow that Israelis were noble, trustworthy, hardworking, industrious, honest, upright people. And as you know from our conversation, by the time I returned from the Mideast, I had done a 180 flip. And to this day, I have maintained that that feeling. I have never seen a more evil, sadistic, pernicious, lying bunch of people than the Israelis. And I will say that in the face of God if need be. That is the absolute God's truth. When I was there, I witnessed things. If you'd like, I'll share a few of these things. I think you've got a chance to read my part about my visit to Israel.
Yes, in 1989. Yes, I did read it.
All right. Let me touch on a few of the experiences that I had there. First of all, one of the things that I saw was treason to the United States. You remember a traitor, there's so many Jewish traitors, treason is an earmark of the Jews. Of course, the greatest treason in the history of the world was the Rosenbergs, when they let the genie out of the bottle and sold the secrets of the bomb to the Soviets, and that started an infinite, indescribable series of events which caused death and depravity and suffering worldwide like nothing that this planet has ever seen. Fault of two Jews. There was another Jew by the name of Jonathan Pollard, that may ring a bell to some of you. He was working in our State Department and Navy, and he sold some secrets to Israel, which eventually were sold to the Soviets. Without getting into detail about that, just keep in mind this man was guilty of high treason. And I've talked to some intelligence operatives, people that I've met along the way, whose opinion was that the severity of the treason that he committed was so serious that its full extent may not even be known for decades due to revealing operatives, deep plant operatives in the Soviet Union who are now compromised and probably dead at this point thanks to this Jew traitor, Pollard. Well, you will find that Jonathan Pollard, and this is one thing you will not see in the news. Make note of this, folks. I was there. Remember, Jonathan Pollard was a Zionist Jewish Soviet spy working for the Israelis. You will find his name, now not in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a pretty much of a sanitized city. But you get into some of the adjoining smaller cities, you will see his name in graffiti all over the place. I mean all over the place, as a national hero. An urban legend, as it were. So this traitor was held in very, very high esteem and still is by the Jews in Israel. He's a hero to the Israelis. So much for any notion of Israeli love and concern for American families. One other issue was the destruction of just civilian homes and businesses that I witnessed there. And particularly in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, Gaza City, the absence of any civilian traffic was just conspicuous. It was just a war zone of destroyed buildings, blackened, burned. I remember cars still burning in the middle ends of some streets. And it was just, like I say, it was a war zone. There was no building just left untouched. And all this stuff was done by the Israelis. They'd come in there and blast the tops off these buildings so that they couldn't be used by snipers. You've got to remember, these people are defending their homes, their cities. Just like you listeners out there living in River City, if you were invaded by the Cubans, by the Red Chinese, whoever, you make up your own scenario, and you imagine what you would do to somebody who raped your daughters, murdered your family, bulldozed your homes, burned your crops, mocked your religion, and so on, and you would fight back to protect your country. This is what the people in Gaza were doing. The Palestinians there, both Christians.
Okay. Stay tuned. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back to discuss Pollard and the Rosenbergs in Gaza when we return.
Introducing Idea Sticks. Idea Sticks are self-adhering, so you simply peel and stick to create the look of hand-painted tile on your kitchen backsplash. Bring new life to kitchen countertops. Accent and coordinate kitchen appliances and accessories. The possibilities are endless. And because Idea Sticks are steam and heat resistant, you can even use them in your bathroom. Idea Sticks are removable, reusable, and washable, and won't leave marks or a sticky mess. So you can change to a new design at any time. During this special TV offer, you can order your very own Idea Sticks. A, the floral bouquet. B, the dolphin porthole, or C, the floral and fruit basket for the amazing price of just $19.99. That's right, only $19.99. And that's not all. During this special TV offer, we'll even throw in a sheet of custom accents absolutely free.
To order your very own Idea Sticks, call 1-800-564-5812. That's 1-800-564-5812.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, Southern Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Joe Cortina. And during the break, Joe, as I listened to some of your discussion of what you witnessed in Gaza, much of which I have not witnessed personally because I have never been in Gaza, but certainly in this Internet age, I see an awful lot of pictorial evidence and evidence from reputable sources that suggests very strongly that there's a horrific situation that's taken place there. I wanted you to interact with something that I was looking at this morning. James Aberesk, who, of course, was the first Arab American to serve in the United States Senate from South Dakota from 1973 to 79, and he's the vice chairman of the Council for the National Interest, which is an outfit that sends me their news serves. And Aberesk says the following: I can tell you from personal experience that the support Israel has in the Congress is based completely on political fear, fear of defeat by anyone who does not do what Israel wants done. I can also tell you that very few members of Congress, at least when I served there, have any affection for Israel or for its lobby. What they have is contempt, but it is silenced by fear of being found out exactly how they feel. I've heard too many cloakroom conversations in which members of the Senate will voice their bitter feelings about how they've been pushed around by the lobby to think otherwise. In private, one hears the dislike of Israel and the tactics of the lobby, but not one of them is willing to risk the lobby's animosity by making their feelings public. Thus, I see no desire on the part of members of Congress to further any U.S. imperial dreams by using Israel as their pit bull. The only exceptions to that rule are the feelings of Jewish members, whom I believe are sincere in their efforts to keep U.S. money flowing to Israel. But that minority does not a U.S. imperial policy make. What do you make of what Abresk is saying in this article this morning?
Well, there's nothing to make of it. I know for a fact that's absolutely true. There's not enough, you know, in the 2 hours of this program to give you even an overview of the truth of the factual documentation of that. Ask people like Paul Finley, a true American, real American patriot whose careers have been ruined by Jewish threats and intimidation. The problem is that, unfortunately, the truth is that American legislators are spineless jellyfish who've sold their souls a long time ago. They have no grit, no courage, no ethics, no morals, and all they do is kowtow. Nobody's going to kill them if they do this. Nobody's going to incarcerate them. All they have to do is stand up and say, I'm not going to lie to the American people anymore. I am a Christian. I took an oath on the book, on the Holy Bible, to defend this Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and I'm going to tell you American people the truth. That's all they have to do. Nobody's going to kill them for it. But they're spineless wimps, and we elect them year after year. I know a lot of these people, met these people personally, and it's sad to say. I just shake my head at looking at the character of these people. There's a few good people, but not enough to make much difference.
Yeah, you cite Paul Findlay, certainly, whose career in Congress was clearly terminated by these folks. Ron Paul comes to mind as a contemporary.
Ron Paul, another one.
Is a good independent voice on this issue. But going on with what Abresk says here, he says the Israeli lobby is quite clear in its efforts to suppress any congressional dissent from the policy of complete support for Israel, which might hurt annual appropriations. Even one voice is attacked, as I was, on grounds that if Congress is completely silent on the issue, the press will have no one to quote, which effectively silences the press as well. Any journalists or editors who step out of line are quickly brought under control by well-organized economic pressure against the newspaper caught sinning. And then he goes on to cite the experience of having made a trip to the Middle East. And Abresk took with him a reporter friend who wrote for Knight Ridder newspapers. Abresk says he was, quote, writing honestly about what he saw with respect to the Palestinians and other countries bordering on Israel. The St. Paul Pioneer Press executives received threats from several of their large advertisers that their advertising would be terminated if they continued publishing the journalists' articles. It's a lesson quickly learned by those who control the paper. And my question for you is this, Joe. Quite clearly, we've got a major problem in terms of the amount of money that the Israeli lobby has to play around with in terms of controlling significant federal elections to the Congress and, of course, the presidential race as well. And now we're talking about the other model that comes into play, which is their incredible control and influence in American news media. The Knight Ridder example that Abresk mentions here in this article for the Council on the National Interest is just but one example of a host that we could probably mention over the air. But given that this is the situation, what does the average American do to get information that will counter this sort of controlled press? And then what kinds of actions can we take politically to restore our independence? When we come back from the break, I'm going to take that up with Joe Cortina. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Mark and Cost America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Joe Cortina, talking about specifically Israel this morning and talking about Gaza, talking about the role of the Israeli lobby and the influence and control of the American news media and the American Congress. And Joe, just this example that we were discussing before the break in terms of James Aberesk's piece for the Council for the National Interest this morning, where he was citing this journalist friend who, as near as I can tell, was painting the same kind of picture that you paint in regard to what's going on in Palestine and what's going on in Gaza. And yet this guy's insightful articles for the St. Paul Pioneer Press in Minnesota and being handled by Knight Ritter were subsequently suppressed because the St. Paul Pioneer Press executives were threatened with a loss of advertising money if the series continued. How do we get around this sort of thing in terms of getting information that gives us the correct slant on what is happening there? And how do we combat politically what clearly is arguably the most powerful lobby in America?
Well, just do what we're doing today. Share these things with other people. unfortunately, I'm one of only a handful of people that have ever witnessed this kind of thing as an American citizen. There are just a few other people. I've met one or two of them. This is a very, very rare situation. You just won't find people. First of all, you just get killed. Israelis just come in and just blow your brains out. And, of course, it'll be an accident, like the USS Liberty was an accident. All these things are, you know, accidents. That's the big Jew excuse when they do something like this. The remember the recent massacre in Lebanon at, what was the name of the place, where they killed 60 or 70 people, but most of them were children. And you saw the whining little Israeli reporter there. And, of course, her came, it was just an accident. It was just an accident. You know, the USS Liberty was just an accident. All these things are just, you know, accidents. But then the Jews are proficient liars. They have been for 2,000 years, and the lies will continue. And as long as we buy them, they're going to be smug about it and continue to lie because they figure, well, it works. So they just, we believe that. I'd like to share this incident with this young Palestinian child that I saw. I think this is important.
Sure.
Because this is emblematic of what it's all about. This is what it's all about over there, the brutality and the cruelty that you, the American listener, do not see here. This stuff is just beginning to seep through here and there. You'll have to get this information. Like Mark's question initially was, where do we find this? What do we do? We go on chat rooms. We go on the Internet. We call congressmen. We insist. I have offered to testify for Congress more times than I can remember, along with the handful of other people who have good reputations, perfect backgrounds like I do, and will be more than happy to swear to these things in front of a congressional entity, committee. But naturally, these things probably aren't going to happen unless people demand them. That's the problem. You've got to do something. Do you mind if I read you this thing about this child? I think this is important.
Go ahead.
I'd like to share this incident, which I'll never forget. I think it's classically characterizing the Israeli attitude to people which they openly refer to as animals. While other areas in Gaza, where we were in Gaza, were following our IDF paratroop escort, it was an open jeep with heavily armed paratroops. Suddenly it screeched to a halt about 10 yards in front of us, and out jumped the men. One immediately dropped to one knee and took careful aim at his victim and to our immediate right. The enemy, some 50 feet away, throwing egg-sized rocks at their tormentors. Hardly sophisticated or dangerous, but there he stood, proud, defiant, and fearless. Probably a 7 or 8 year old child. This was his neighborhood, his country, his land. And he was a prisoner in this Israeli concentration camp for animals. So think of it as a role change for David and Goliath. Children like this young lad routinely disappear in occupied territories. It happens all the time, every day, a lot more now than it used to when I was there. They're just never seen or heard of again. The bodies are dumped by the side of the street. I have children and grandchildren who I would defend with my life. I would like you to imagine for just a moment that you're an American. Just close your eyes and visualize finding your beloved 6 or 8 year old child or grandchild with half his head blown away, the flies feasting on his scattered brain. An unimaginable accident? No, a war crime. And it's your child, the sin of your child, throwing an egg-sized rock in an Israeli tank bought and paid for by American citizens. Did you just forget it as if it were a family cat? Or would you swear revenge, justice, against the monsters that made it happen? Could you possibly be so arrogant to believe that this Palestinian mother and father love their child any less than you would, or his life is worth less in the eyes of God? That day I was only armed with a 35-millimeter camera, which happened to be an official CIA issue, which made it easier for me to place myself with the operatives in that vehicle that day. I immediately jumped out of the vehicle and zeroed in on the would-be murderer not 10 paces in front of me. Apparently, he saw what I was doing and muttered something I couldn't hear as he withdrew back to his jeep. I never saw the child again, was grateful I had been able to save a life by my intimidation with a camera. Upon returning to the embassy vehicle, one of the people from Langley commented that I had undoubtedly saved the child's life. Another one of the intelligence passengers in our group very wryly stated that even so, the same child probably would not live to see the end of the following week, much less his next birthday. These people had seen these murders commonly every day in Gaza. You people have to remember this. This kind of brutal, sadistic murder goes on daily, and you have blood on your hands. Every one of you that pays tax out there, because you pay for the bullet that blew the brains out of that child, along with me, all of us. This has got to stop. God only knows how many children that same jeep full of soldiers had murdered before or after I was there. It's a common practice by the Israeli government military to murder children, even for the slightest provocation. Just another dead goyim, an animal, to the Israelis. These were just some of the experiences of terror by the IDF that I'd personally experienced there. Stories I was told by other intelligence personnel there would make you just your skin crawl. Depravities, rapes, murders, humiliations, beatings, desecrations, religious desecrations, every manner of inhumane horrors. The most accurate description of the IDF that I ever heard was that they were, in fact, now get this, this is a wonderful description of the IDF, the largest institutionalized terrorist organization in the world, unquote. The conduct of these sadistic animals, more recently in Lebanon, bear even more undeniable witness to the truth of that assignment. Or that assessment. The documented list of their terrorist acts as war criminals are now legion. There are events that occur daily at the concentration camps of the Israelis, and much, much worse. You will never, ever see these horrors on the news, and rarely if you ever hear about them. Virtually all these brutal activities are filtered from the American public. If you're only allowed to see what the entities which control the media see fit for you to see, you're not going to see the truth. Only relatively recently, with wider offerings of chat rooms, websites, and other similar internet facilities, do we begin to gain access to the truth without the thousands of miles of travel, years of seasoned intelligence experience, or personal perils that I experienced. If you are disgusted with the mega lies and misleading propaganda, educate yourself as to really what's going on. You won't find the complete truth in the newspaper or Time or Newsweek or Rush, or our government, or TV, or even our hypocrite evangelical pseudo-Christian church leaders. These daily atrocities committed by the Israelis and funded by you are carefully filtered by our Israeli-controlled press. Despite this one-sided propaganda and distortions and outright lies that you've been fed, you may now find out the truth. So look for it. You will find it if you look for it. You want an example of a media that is 100% Jew-owned, Jew-controlled, Israeli-sympathetic, and as racist and hateful as anything you will ever see? Fox News. I personally, I'm just a small guy, I challenge Fox News any place, any time to a debate, and I will expose you, Fox News. I would love to have the opportunity. So, Mark, keep that in mind.
Well, just as one example that I have seen in the press recently, which I think illustrates the nature of what we're talking about, is that, you know, like so many people that have gotten into internet technology from the vantage point of examining news sources that were not available to us years ago before that technology existed, and I see some of these things pictorially that are going on in Gaza. I then come across a story, I'm going to say it was 3 days ago, I've lost track of time now, but as far as this Beit Hanun strike that Israel engaged in, which killed 19 Palestinian civilians at the beginning of November, it emerged in the press that Bishop Tutu, the former Cape Town, South African Archbishop, Nobel laureate, was going to be appointed by this special United Nations fact-finding mission to investigate exactly what happened at Beit Hanun back in the first part of November. And lo and behold, right after that announcement, there was a story that appeared in a number of American news services that Abraham Foxman, the head of the National Director of the Anti-Defamation League, had indicated that they were officially on record as opposing Tutu's probe and appointing his particular appointment to this UN investigative body that was going to look into this thing. And subsequently, Tutu's probe ended up being canceled. I'm looking at Haaretz today from, let's see, I guess yesterday. I've got it posted up here as a December 12th story, indicating from Haaretz in Israel that Israeli diplomatic sources said Monday night that they were not sorry that the United Nations fact-finding mission to investigate Israeli-Palestinian violence in Beit Hanun was canceled. The mission, headed by Nobel laureate and former Cape Town Archbishop Desmond Tutu, came to investigate the killing of 19 Palestinian civilians in Beit Hanun at the beginning of November. The sources said that the six-member delegation was, quote, one-sided and cynical, unquote. And then earlier, Tutu said that Israel refused to let him enter the Gaza Strip and was also preventing his entrance to Israel itself. Quote, we find the lack of cooperation by the Israeli government very distressing, unquote, Tutu told reporters. Now, the point of all of this is I don't particularly care for the archbishop. I certainly don't like the United Nations. But I think when you read the seeds of this story and play out to all of the derivative implications of the story, it's just another example of the magnitude of the one-sided character of this situation that we see in the American press and in the American political establishment. Now, given that that's the case, Joe, do you see any hope that in the future more and more people in the American public will begin to insist that there be a reversal of course in terms of the direction in our foreign policy that has been going on since 1948? I'm not particularly optimistic about it personally.
Well, I'm not either. I mean, look at the USS Liberty. Here is a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer. The only I've taught classes, and I love to teach younger people because they're the legacy of what happened in this country, and you know they're the people who are going to be in government and so on in the next generation, and they're folks that have got to have enough idealism and grit to pick up the ball and run with it. And I tell them, I said, we're going to have a little quiz here. What's the only time in the history of the United States since 1941 in December that there has been an act of war by definition committed against the body of the United States of America? And you'll get all kinds of stuff, the propaganda that they've been, oh, the attack against the coal. I said, no, that was done by a radical boat, bunch of people in a speedboat. I said, that's not an act of war. Let me re-remind you, an act of war is an attack militarily against the body of another country by a country, a government, authorized by the government of another country. That's an act of war. Pearl Harbor was an example. And I finally have to tell them it was the USS Liberty. And they look at me, puzzle this blank stare, what's that about? I said, you don't understand the only time that your nation has been attacked, your sons and brothers and fathers and neighbors slaughtered in cold blood in an act of war authorized by highest ranking officials of a foreign nation, and you don't know about it? In other words, I'm overly doing this because I realize, you know, that the reason why is because the Jews control the media. They don't want us to know. They don't want people to know that Israel murdered, slaughtered hundreds of our sons in cold blood that day. That needs to be reckoned with. That needs to be brought to justice. Those people need to be arraigned, arrested, extradited, tried, and hung for war crimes. Is it going to happen? Probably not. Why? Because it didn't happen? No. Why? Because it wasn't true? No. Why? Because it wasn't serious? No. Because they're Jews. The chosen. We can't touch them. We can't talk about them. We can't say anything about them. And until the day when we as Americans start showing some grit and gut and stand up and say, we're not going to take, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take this anymore, then they are going to continue their stranglehold. They are going to do away with Christmas. You watch, this year is going to be the death knell of Christmas. Mark my words, after this year, you are not going to see, probably there's going to be laws, you won't even be able to say Merry Christmas to anybody anymore without getting into legal trouble. And nobody defends the faith. Now, that's sick. Am I right or wrong, Mark? Do you see this? Am I the only person who sees every place you go, have a happy holiday, every advertisement you see, holiday greetings, a holiday tree, a holiday this, and Christ has been removed?
When we come back, we will explore some more of this with Joe Cortina. I want to make reference to Andrew Kilgore's article for the Washington Report on Middle Eastern Affairs, which discusses some of this business with the USS Liberty. Also want to discuss what some of our previous guests have been saying about the cultural issues that Joe cites. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
If joint pain, stiffness, or discomfort stops you from enjoying the things you like to do, now there's help. Introducing Joint Nutrients, the all-new, fast-acting, all-natural, great-tasting liquid formula that, when taken as directed, can help relieve the pain associated with osteoarthritis and with no harmful side effects. Joint Nutrients help restore and replenish joint fluid that is lost with aging, certain injuries, or constant pounding of the joints. And unlike other products that simply address the pain, Joint Nutrients goes to work to start repairing and correcting natural joint function while providing the relief you need. So if you are one of the millions of Americans who suffer from arthritis, then you need Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670. 1-866-240-5670. Reduce arthritis pain, increase flexibility, and enhance joint health with Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Joe Cortina. I wanted to mention a couple of housekeeping items. There are several things that you can have courtesy of Republic Broadcasting Network. Got some new RBN t-shirts available. You can have those at rbnlive.com by contacting us at that point on the web. or calling us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. And the due date for those for Christmas is December 20th. These RBN T-shirts are available once more at rbnlive.com or at 1-800-724-2719. Another housekeeping item, Aaron Russo's DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, can be obtained directly from the Republic Broadcasting Network for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. You can have that at 1-800-724-2719 by telephone or again at rbnlive.com. And finally, if you would like to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, the information that I just gave you about contact points is what you would use to do that. If you would like to give a gift to this network in order to continue what we're doing with all of our various shows, you can do so by contacting us once more on the web at rbnlive.com or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. Joe, I'm looking now at a story. We're going to be interrupted a couple of times in the next 10 minutes, and then we will have a longer period of time to chat. But the May 2004 Washington Report on Middle Eastern Affairs, pages 13 and 94, had a report by Andrew I. Kilgore. And Mr. Kilgore is a retired Foreign Service officer. He's a former United States ambassador to Qatar, and he is the publisher of the Washington Report on Middle Eastern Affairs, which I have been a subscriber to for some time. And he says as follows, had Mossad, Israel's intelligence organization, succeeded, it would have been the perfect crime, the crime of the century. The plan was breathtaking in concept, to assassinate the American ambassador to Lebanon, in Lebanon, with American weapons intended for Israel's defense only. Everything about it would point to Lebanon as the culprit. There you have the idea of the false flag incident. But fate intervened and things went wrong. The tires on Ambassador John Gunther Dean's limousine automatically reinflated when they were shot out in 1979. The light tank shell simply bounced off the car's armor. And horror of horrors, Lebanese intelligence had retrieved the empty shell casing on which was written, quote, "Made in the United States of America," unquote. Mossad's specialty was dirty tricks, even if, or perhaps because, it was not very good as an intelligence organization. Its modus operandi had always been the same. Pull off a dirty trick, but make it appear someone else had done it. An early example was the Lavon affair, named for Pinhas Lavon, Israel's Minister of Defense back in 1953. When we come back, I want to read the rest of what Kilgore has to say and then ask Joe Cortina to interact with it. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.